Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I appreciated that message that went before so much. Isn't it amazing how that God takes these small little things like conies, like ants, and teaches us such great lessons? We who think we are so wise, we who think we know so much, and yet He teaches us lessons by these little animals, by these little things that we think are so insignificant. And yet God shows us great things and how foolish that we are and how that we should find the wisdom that He has taught instead of the wisdom that we would teach ourselves. I want to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1. Just want to bring to your mind a few blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or literally, let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be eulogized. Let Him be praised. Let His name be held in high esteem. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You can hardly read that verse without smiling. There's just so much beautiful things described and so many things that just grab your attention and grab your heartstrings just in reading that one verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can think of many reasons to praise God for giving us the breath that we breathe, for giving us the homes that we live in, for giving us the blessings of family, the blessings of material things that we are so incredibly blessed with. Oh, shouldn't God be praised? But then we read that He hath blessed us, whoever that us is. Who is that us? He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, that word all means all, without any exceptions, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These blessings that He's providing are coming down from heaven. And they come because of Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But who is that us? Who is the us that enjoy all spiritual blessings? Let's read verse 1. We'll find out who the us is, who Paul, or actually God, is bringing this message from Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine just for a minute that you are part of the congregation, part of the church that met at Ephesus. Back a long time ago, back 2,000 years ago, you live in Ephesus, and you are a part of the church of Ephesus. And you receive this letter in the mail, and you read the first few lines, and it says, Paul. You know who Paul is. Paul is this messenger that is bringing messages, not from his own voice, but Paul is bringing a message from God. God is speaking through Paul, and He's speaking through these people. And these people are people that are just common people. Nobody extraordinary, but just ordinary people like you and like me. Common, ordinary people. In fact, if you read in the book of Acts, which describes the beginning of this congregation, this church at Ephesus, you'll find that these people that he is addressing here in this letter actually lived some very wicked lives earlier in their lives. And did some very wicked things. They were involved in things like witchcraft. They were involved in magic. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ came to them, When the truth of the true God was brought before them, they burned their magic books and got rid of that magic and began to serve and worship the true God, Jesus Christ. Now, you're just a common person like me, with common problems and common ills and common sins and common temptations, and you receive this letter from Paul. Ultimately, you receive this letter from God. And he says, I am writing this letter to you at Ephesus, and he calls you a saint.
He calls you a common person. He calls you a saint.
Takes your breath away, doesn't it? I imagine they said, wait a minute, read that again. Is that really right? Did he really say that these common people were saints? How? How could it be? What does that word saint mean? What does the word saint mean? Well, if you know about the New Testament was written in the Greek language, in the common Greek language. And the Greeks were a pagan people. And so Paul would take words from the pagan Greek language and he would write them down, because that's all the words they had to use. And so the word saints is the Greek word hagias. Hagias. Let me tell you the way that the pagan Greeks used the word hagias, the word saint. Let's say that they were worshiping one of their many gods. I don't know which god they might have been worshiping. They were worshiping some god, and they decided to bring a gift to one of the gods. They're going to bring a gift to offer to the gods. Let's just say they were going to bring this watch, this common gift to they would offer to the gods. So they would bring this gift to the place where the temple where the gods were worshipped, and they would offer this gift to the gods. This gift was only for the god. It had no other purpose, no other use, except to be offered to the gods. This gift would be called hagias. It's set apart. It's given. It's dedicated to the gods. Or maybe they would build a building, a temple. And they would say, this temple is reserved, is dedicated, is set apart for the worship of the gods. This temple has no other use. It's not used for eating. It's not used for sleeping in. It's not used for anything else. But this temple is used for the worship of the gods. That's the way the word hagias, or saints, was used back in the pagan Greek times. And he calls the common people, people like you, people like me, hagias, the saints, saying that God has taken you, God has chosen you, that you have one purpose in life, and that is to be dedicated, to be set apart for the worship, not of many false gods, but you're set apart, you're dedicated for the worship of the true God, Jesus Christ. He calls them hagias, the saints, set apart, dedicated, consecrated for the worship of the one true God. That's who he's writing this to. That's who he's blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He even further describes this hagias by the next phrase. To the saints which are at Ephesus, that word there "and" could also mean even. I'll use it as even tonight. Even to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's just further identifying, further giving some identifying marks of who the saints are, who the hagias is, even to the faithful in Christ Jesus. What does that word faithful mean? That word faithful means all those people who consider the object of their faith, in this word, the faithful in Christ Jesus. All those people who consider Christ Jesus to be worthy of their trust. And so they take their trust out of their own self. They discontinue trusting in their own self, and they place all their trust, all their confidence, all their hope in Jesus Christ. Do you tonight consider Jesus Christ to be worthy of all your trust? Do you consider Jesus Christ to be worthy of all your hope? Do you consider Jesus Christ to be worthy of all your confidence? Do you place it in yourself? Or do you say, no, I know that within me, I know myself. I know myself when you don't see me. I know myself in the dark rooms when nobody else is around. And I know that in myself, there is nothing worthy of trusting in. And so I take all my trust away from myself. I'm not worthy of my own trust. and I place it in Jesus Christ. I have three children, Sophia, Scarlett, and Luke. And when it's dark outside, just last night we had to take a bear, a stuffed animal, of Davis's back over to Davis's house. And Mama said, Sophia, take the bear back over to Davis's house. And Sophia said, but it's dark and I'll be scared. She said, I can't do it. She says, Daddy, will you go with me? I said, well, sure, Sophie, let's go over there. So I walked over to Davis's house with Sophia to give Davis his bear back. Sophia knew that she did not trust herself. She did not consider herself worthy of trust alone in the night, in the dark, with all those unknown things out there. But she knew that she could trust her daddy to take care of her. My friends, one day we all will die. And we will face God. We all will. There is life after death. We all will face God. Do you trust yourself in that dark and stormy time? Or is all your trust, all your confidence, say, oh, I don't trust myself in that dark time of death, but I trust in the one true God, Jesus Christ. He will carry me through. So, those who trust in Jesus Christ, nobody special. You're nothing special. You're just common people like the people here in Ephesus. But because you have trust in Jesus Christ, because you believe in Jesus Christ, He calls you a saint, a hagios. Oh. And then He says, I've blessed you with all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want to talk to you about one of the blessings that He describes here. He proceeds in chapter 1 to describe many of these blessings that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about just one of them, found in verse 11. In verse 11 of chapter 1. He says, speaking of Jesus Christ, He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The blessing I want to talk about is the first phrase of that verse. In whom also we, the faithful, the believers, the hagias, the saints, we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance is something that you receive when a beneficiary dies. You don't work to obtain that inheritance. You receive that inheritance just because of who you are. Now, my father, I don't expect to get much of an inheritance when he dies. He doesn't have a lot of money. But it says that we who believe in Jesus Christ, we who trust in Jesus Christ, will receive an inheritance. The one who is good to provide the inheritance is the one who owns the whole world. All of the earth is mine. He owns the world because along 6,000 years ago or so, He spoke the world into existence. He is the owner. He is the ruler. He is the creator of all of heaven and earth. And He owns it all. And He says, you, my faithful, my trusting ones, my hagios, to you I will give an inheritance. And you say, oh, but I'm just a common person. You know, I think you read that email about the people in the Philippines this morning. Those people, you know, I thought about those people in the Philippines who have no homes. The government has torn down their little shanties, their little tin structures. Torn them down, says, get out of town. You are a blight on our city. You are you may bring diseases into our town. We want to make our city more beautiful, so get out of our town. Get away from us. Go back into the place where you came from. Imagine that feeling of being unwanted. You know, when I read that, I started to get kind of angry at the people under the city government of Davao. Then I thought about it. just a block from here or so, is a city park. I thought, what if I got up one morning and I was driving to work and I drove by that city park, and out in that city park was a park full of people setting up tents and little structures, and there was trash everywhere, and they were half naked, and they looked dirty, and they looked diseased. And I thought, you know, I probably would have been on the phone with the city government saying, do something about this problem. It's driving down the property value of my home. They may bring diseases. They may bring crime. Get this problem away from me. You see, people like that who are completely unwanted, who have not a physical joy in this world, yet if they are of those who trust in Jesus Christ, if they are those who have no hope for themselves, but have all their hope placed in Jesus Christ, He says of them, they are included here. He says of them that we have obtained an inheritance. You say, but I'm just common, and I don't deserve an inheritance. Oh, that's exactly right. But let's read here in Colossians chapter 1 about this inheritance. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Listen to this. You say, I'm not worthy of receiving this inheritance. And I say, you're exactly right. You are not worthy of receiving this inheritance. You say, I'm full of sin. And inside me is much sin. Inside me is much uncleanness. Inside me is much commonness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word meet means to be worthy. Which hath made us meet, or acceptable, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How did He do that? How did He make me this common person? How did He make me this unclean person? How did He make me this sinful person? Worthy, acceptable, to be partakers of the inheritance. How did it occur? Keep reading. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. There was a power that was over you. It was a dark power. The power of Satan that did not want you to trust in Jesus Christ. That did not want you to live and serve Jesus Christ. That wanted you to continue to put your trust in yourself and drive you down to a state of misery and destruction. But He has delivered us, rescued us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. How did He do that? In whom we have redemption. Because of your sin, you are in debt to God and you are bankrupt. You have no money to pay back to God for your many sins. But He hath redeemed us. He's purchased us. He's bought you back. In whom we have redemption through His blood. But Jesus Christ stood upon the cross of Calvary. And as He bled there upon the cross of Calvary, as they slapped Him across the face and pulled the beard from His face and stuck the thorns into His head, that by those stripes, as they beat Him, as He shed His blood there on that awful, cruel day of Calvary, He was doing something there. He was buying you back. He was paying for your many sins. He was making you acceptable to be partakers of the inheritance. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a blessing that you have obtained if you are one of those who are trusting Jesus Christ? If you are one of those then who love Jesus Christ, say, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. I ask you, do you love Jesus Christ? Is He your all in all? Is He your only hope in this world? If so, then you have obtained an inheritance. Praise God for that. But I want to present you another way to look at this blessing that I think can also be true from Scripture. It is true that we have obtained, we have been given, and or we will receive one day an inheritance from the One. By the way, what is that inheritance? You say, heaven? You say, tell me about heaven.
I say, I can't. I don't know that much about heaven. I hear about the streets of gold, and that sounds lovely. I hear about no sin, that sounds wonderful. I hear about no sorrow and no tears, that sounds delightful. But let me tell you, the ultimate prize of your inheritance, the ultimate prize of your inheritance is that you will have God. You will see God with your own eyes, not clouded by sin. You will see God. I am His, and He is mine. That one in whom you put all your trust, in whom you put all your hope, all your confidence, all your needs, that one, you will see Him. You will have Him. You will be with Him forever. But also, as I was studying this passage, I looked it up in the Greek, and I want to give you how it is read out in the Greek. In the Greek, this passage, this portion says, in whom we have been made the heritage. We have been made the heritage. And I struggled with that for a while. I thought, I'm just going to put this Greek book away and just read from the English. But I think there's a real blessing there for us as well. What does the word heritage mean? The word heritage means something that is reserved for someone. Something that is reserved for someone. A portion that is reserved for someone. What is a portion? A portion is just a segment or a part of a whole. So let's put this all together now, okay? We have been made the portion reserved for God. Think about that for just a minute. In your homes, at your home, you have many possessions, don't you? We all have many possessions in our homes. But aren't there some things in your homes that are a little bit more special to you than others? Right? So for some of you, maybe a very special vase is more special to you than something else in your home. Or grandma, maybe it's the last gift that granddaddy gave you. I don't know. And it just has a little bit more of a special place in your home than everything else. In our home, we have many sheets and pillows and blankets and afghans and throws and covers, bedspreads. We have many of those things, a whole closet full of those things. But there is one blanket that is a more special possession to us than all the other blankets in the house. Now, our children love to play with blankets and sheets and towels. And they'll act like they're taking a nap, and they'll lay down, and they'll get the sheets, and they'll get the sheets out, and the blankets out of the room, and they'll put them over them and say, I'm taking a nap, Daddy, and they'll wake up in a few more minutes. And they love to play with the blankets and the sheets and all those things. But there is this one blanket that Mama never lets them play with, because it's a special possession in our house. You see, Rachel, my wife, her great-grandmother, many years ago, hand-stitched this quilt. And the children know they are not allowed to play with great-grandma's quilt. It's a special thing, a special possession. What does it say here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11? We have been made the portion, a part of a whole. You see, we own many blankets, but there's one blanket, Grandma's blanket, that is special to us. Let's see how God talks about that in the Old Testament. As He's speaking of His special nation, Israel. Speaking in Exodus chapter 19, speaking of Israel, this national elected group, this group that His special chosen people. Look how He describes Israel. In Exodus 19, they are just 3 months from coming across the Red Sea, 3 months from escaping from Egypt, and they are waiting to see what God will say to them. What will God say to these people who He has blessed who get away from the horrible bondage of Egypt?
Look in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Verse 2. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain. And here's what God has to say, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Okay, God's going to speak to us now. What's He going to say? We've been waiting for 3 months. What will God say to us? What does God say? Verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you out unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Did you hear that? What is God saying there? He says, listen, people, you're a small little group of people. I want you to know that I am God, and I own all the earth. All the earth belongs to me. I own all the earth. But amidst all the earth that I own all of it, ye are a special treasure unto me. Ephesians 1 verse 11, we have been made the portion. We have been made the special treasure unto God. There are many other places in Deuteronomy, in Exodus, in Psalms, the book of Psalms, that describe Israel as being the special treasure unto God. These Jewish people being the special treasure unto God. But I want to fast forward now back to Ephesians. The message, I won't read it, but the message of Ephesians is to common people, Gentiles like you and me. And here is the message. The message is that when Jesus Christ stood upon the cross, as He stood upon the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, signifying that we have access now unto God. Not only signifying that we have access now to God, but signifying also that there is no more difference between Jew and Gentile. That Jew and Gentile, though they used to be two, are now one. Jew and Gentile are one. Though we are formerly strangers and pilgrims, formerly aliens, not citizens, but now we are made one by the blood of the cross, and we have peace with God by the blood of the cross. And so the message is to you tonight, Gentile people, common people, people like me, people like the people here in Ephesians, ye are a peculiar treasure unto God. We have been made the special treasure of God. Let me ask you again. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ? If you say yes, then you are a special treasure unto God. You specifically, God has chosen you as a special treasure for Himself. Oh, can't we all say, let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be praised. Praise God, we say. Let's read one more passage out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is for you. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What does a priest do? A priest takes the prayers of man and offers them to God. But God says, because of what Jesus Christ has done, no longer is there a denial of access to God. No longer is there a barrier between you and God, but you yourself, Hagios, saint, faithful, trusting in God, you yourself can run right up to God and talk to Him yourself. You don't need anybody to go between you and God. You can go directly to God and speak to Him. You can go to God. Oh, what power is there? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar. That word peculiar doesn't mean odd or strange. That word peculiar means special. You are a special treasure unto God, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It says in Ephesians that God has done here in making us this peculiar treasure, and everything else that He does, according to Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The result, therefore, is that we should be to the praise of His glory. You're a special treasure. Did you come in tonight feeling very special? Or did you feel kind of common? Did you come in with your face downcast? Did you come in with a great smile upon your face? I'm afraid the reason that we spend so much time in the doldrums and we spend so much time depressed is because we do not realize the blessings. We do not remember the blessings that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. My friends, Christians, Hagios, saints, believers in Jesus Christ should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. We all should be smiling all the time because Jesus Christ has made us a peculiar treasure unto Him. You think about the blind woman, Fanny Crosby. There was a lady one time who has written many, many songs in our songbook. These songs that she writes are some of the most happy and joyful songs in all the book. You think about that and you wonder. A girl, blind, no sight, from her earliest memory, never... never had the joys of seeing the flowers blossom. Never had the delight of seeing their loved ones face to face. Never able to look in the mirror and see your own face. Never able to see the beautiful scenery that we enjoy on the roadside. Never able to enjoy any of these things. You say, Fanny Crosby, what right do you have to have a smile on your face? What reason, what good reason is there for you to be happy and joyful? You know what she would say? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I have obtained an inheritance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I can run right to Him. I don't have to have somebody to go between me and Him. I can go directly to Jesus in prayer. He's mine. He's my portion. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. Do you hear that? I'm an heir of salvation. Here it is, the possession. I'm the purchase of God. I'm the special treasure of God. How long has it been since you've polished off the valuable vase that is yourself? The valuable possession that is yourself, and realize what you are. I'm the purchase of God. Born of the Spirit, and I'm washed. I once was dirty, I once was common, I once was unclean, but no longer can you call common or unclean that which God has cleansed, because I am washed in His blood. So she says, this is my story. This is my song that carries me on all day long. This is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Where is your confidence? I can offer you nothing in myself but in Jesus Christ. He who is worthy of all love and all praise and all trust. May God bless you.